I wonder what you think about when you hear the word chaos. Do you think of an experience that you've lived through? Or maybe you think of a movie or a video game which has the word chaos in the title. Maybe you think of a historical event that you have read about. Or maybe some of you are saying, Wes, I don't have to think about chaos at all because I'm living in chaos every single day. Maybe because of family situations or work environment or financial stress, you feel like your life is chaos. Or maybe just looking at the state of our world and you see how things seem to be sort of messed up and jumbled up in so many areas, you say, you know what? There's this perfect storm that's throwing everything off balance and out of order, and I feel like our whole world is living in a state of chaos. Well, I saw a picture a while back that I think really helps me picture what chaos and order look like. And so I want to show it to you very, very quickly. Now, you can imagine order looking like the little push pins that are all together, grouped together. They're perfectly in place. They're neatly arranged. If you are a person that has OCD, then you absolutely love that side of the picture that has that order to it. You love the fact that everything is in place. And if you are not OCD, then you are looking at that saying, that's the most boring thing I've ever seen. Now, the other side of that picture might perfectly illustrate for us chaos. Everything just sort of randomly thrown together. There's no order, there's no pattern. It's just sort of a mess of pushpins. And some of you are looking at it and you are wishing that it wasn't a picture on the screen and that you could get your hands on there and you would fix it and you would put everything in order. And others of you are saying, well, but it's beautiful that way. It's beautiful because it has life and it has color and it's not boring. Now, I have a theory. Whether you prefer things neatly in order or whether you prefer things to be a little more random, I think most people do their best to deal with whichever side of the picture they are on if they know what to anticipate. What throws us a curve or what throws us off balance, out of step, what sometimes creates fear deep into our bones is not knowing what to expect, being caught off guard. We're expecting one thing and we get the other. It's the unexpected, the surprises that make us feel like we are living in chaos. And friends, that's unfortunate because we all know that life is very unpredictable. We all know that the unexpected happens and life is going to be filled with regular moments that catch us off guard. So how are we to navigate our way through chaos that inevitably comes to our doorstep? Jesus promised his followers that there would be peace in the middle of a very chaotic world. So how do we actually experience this peace that Jesus promised, peace of mind, a calm spirit in the middle of chaos? I believe there's an event in Scripture that will help us gain some perspective. Three of the four biographies of Jesus in the New Testament describe this event, and each of them give us some unique details that help us get a complete picture of what really happened. I want to share with you a couple of those accounts, one from the book of John. In John chapter 6, you know that the disciples have experienced with Jesus an amazing miracle. I mean, an incredible miracle. If you were a part of Grace Point last weekend, you know we talked about it. Jesus multiplies a young boy's lunch and feeds a massive crowd of thousands and thousands of people. And that crowd of people and the disciples, they went from feeling overwhelmed to feeling satisfied. The disciples probably cannot stop talking about the amazing thing they've just witnessed. They're riding this wave of emotion and faith and momentum. And then they get hit with another kind of wave, the kind of wave that can actually drown you. In John chapter 6 and verse 16, it's described like this. Jesus' disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell and Jesus still didn't come back, they got into a boat and headed across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon, a gale swept down upon them and the sea grew very rough. They had rowed 3 or 4 miles when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified. But Jesus called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." Then they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Now Mark, writing the eyewitness account of Peter, gives us a few more details. In Mark chapter 6, verse 47, it's described like this: "Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. But when they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage, I am here.' Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed." Now imagine just for a moment, you are in the middle of this event. Picture in your mind how violent the wind would have been blowing and how ferocious the waves. I mean, this was such a significant storm that these disciples, who are seasoned professional fishermen, are struggling just to keep this boat from being capsized. I mean, the waves and the wind are significant. And in addition, they are in the middle of a lake in complete darkness. And in the middle of that moment, they find themselves in chaos. They had to be shocked to find themselves here because they've just been a part of an amazing, miraculous event. And now, when their faith is probably stronger than it's ever been before, now they find themselves in this mess. They've gone from the hype of excitement and joy and celebration to actually fighting for their lives. They are experiencing the unexpected. Both Mark and Matthew tell us that Jesus had actually told them to go and get into the boat and go to the other side of the lake. So they're actually doing what Jesus told them to do. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're following His direction, and bam, right in the middle of it, they find themselves in an intense storm. And I think there's a truth here that we need to remind ourselves of. We talk about it often, and yet we so frequently forget it when we're in the middle of a difficulty. Here's the truth. Storms and struggles happen, even when we are following Jesus. The disciples got into the boat because Jesus told them to get into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. And they learned, just as we learn, following Jesus is no guarantee that we are going to be spared every adversity. In fact, Jesus is so clear about this when He talks to His disciples over and over and over again. I'm reminded particularly of Jesus' conversation with the disciples when they are sharing the Passover meal together the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus is trying to prepare them for the events that are going to occur. And He's telling them all sorts of information and trying to give them a picture of reality as well as give them hope. And He says, John writes it down in John 16, verse 33, that "I've told you all of these things so that you might have peace in Me." And then He says this: "Here on earth you will have trials and sorrows, but you can take heart because I have overcome the world." Jesus didn't want His followers then, or us today, to be surprised by the fact that as long as we live on this planet, we are occasionally going to face trials and sorrows and just plain chaos. Now I know, it's almost as if the first thought that enters the human mind in the middle of difficulty is to question a love that doesn't free us from every problem. We feel that way. The New Testament followers of Jesus asked the same question: why, if God loves us, is this trouble happening to us? Why doesn't He deliver us from all of this and prevent all of these bad things from happening? And Paul, trying to help Christ followers like you and me understand this. He said, does it mean God no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or even threatened with death? Does that mean God doesn't love us anymore? And then he answers the question by saying, no, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Jesus wanted the disciples to know at the Last Supper that they could have peace in Him in spite of trial and difficulty. Paul says, I need you to know that in the middle of all of the things that can go wrong in this world, the love of Christ is constant. It's constant. And so you can rest assured that while you are following Jesus, even in the middle of a storm, He is still loving you, caring for you, with you. So a question that comes to mind then is this. If God loves us constantly, continuously, offers us peace in the middle of chaos, then why would Jesus actually point the disciples in the direction of a storm? And why would He let them go into this chaotic situation? And why does He allow chaos sometimes to occur in our lives? Well, I don't profess to know the mind of God, but I believe there's a truth that we can grab onto, and it's simply this. Some lessons can only be learned in the storm. Some lessons can only be learned in a storm. No teacher sharpens the senses and hones our focus like chaos or a storm or difficulty or fear. When we find ourselves in the middle of a moment that we know is bigger than us or beyond us, it requires us to learn some lessons that we can only learn when we are in the crucible in that moment. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says it like this. Even in times of trouble, we can have confidence, joyful confidence, knowing that the pressure we're under will develop patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us to hope. And this hope is not some disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. God is always growing us, developing us, helping us learn. Holy Spirit is always guiding us, leading us, shaping us. One author said, God's desire for you and me is not to give us an insurance plan, it's to give us a daring plan, where we are developed and we can become all that God designed us to be. So as we face challenges and if we face difficulties and sometimes flat out chaos, maybe we find ourselves asking this question, what lesson do I need to learn in this moment? What lesson do I learn in this moment that will help me be all God designed me to be? What lesson do I need to learn right now that will help me tomorrow, help me in the future? What lesson do I learn right now in the middle of this challenge that would allow me to actually help and encourage someone else? Struggles and storms happen. Yes, even to followers of Jesus. And in the middle of the storm, we learn lessons that we can learn nowhere else. As we continue to look at this moment in the life of the disciples, I want to make sure that you notice a detail here. You may have noticed when we read the words of Mark describing this event, he said in verse 48 of chapter 6 that Jesus saw the disciples struggling and he came to them. Friends, I want to remind you that in the storm and in the struggle, Jesus is always with us. The most natural thought in the world when we are struggling or in a storm is where are the people who I need most? Where are the people who I care about most? I need them now. And sometimes in the middle of a moment like this, we feel like we've been abandoned and we're all alone. And how comforting it is to know that even though Jesus wasn't right there physically with them at first, we are told that He saw them. And I want to just let you know that Jesus sees us even when we may not see Him. We may struggle to see where God is working, and we may struggle to see what God might be up to. We may struggle to understand God's timing, but it doesn't mean He's abandoned us. It doesn't mean He is uninterested or uncaring, because Jesus sees us even when we may not see Him. And when Jesus sees us and sees us struggling, Mark reminds us, Matthew reminds us, John reminds us that Jesus comes to us even when we feel like we can't get to Him. Jesus comes to the disciples when they least expected it at 3 a.m. in the morning in the middle of the lake. They are just trying to stay afloat. They are trying to stay alive. And they are so preoccupied with just trying to keep the boat afloat and trying to stay alive that initially they don't even recognize Jesus. They think it's a ghost. But God still comes to them in that moment. And I want you to know that in a moment of struggle, God doesn't abandon us. God has not left. He sees us. He knows us. He is at work somehow, some way. And we may not even recognize it at first. We may not even realize God's at work at first, but that doesn't mean He is ignoring us. It doesn't mean He's absent. We may not always understand His timing, but Jesus always sees. He's always with us, and He will step into our chaos. I love the fact that we are told Jesus got into the boat. He stepped right into their experience. He said to them the same words that He says to us, "Don't be afraid, I am here." And the disciples learned that Jesus is not intimidated by a storm. He's not intimidated by the storm of our circumstances, and He's not intimidated by the storm going on in our heart and in our mind. Jesus will step into our boat, into our chaos. We can be honest about our fears. We can be honest about our feelings and emotions, frustrations, because He understands our humanity. He stepped from heaven to earth so He could fully understand what we experience on this planet. And then He lived and died and rose again, giving you and I victory over everything and the possibility of peace in every circumstance. Jesus steps into our chaos, which leads us to be able to declare that because of Jesus, we can face chaos with courage. Both Matthew and Mark tell us that Jesus' full statement to the disciples was this: "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." I love the fact that Jesus doesn't simply say, "Don't be afraid." He doesn't simply say, "Take courage." He gives them a reason not to be afraid. He gives them a reason to have courage. I am here. Moving from fear to courage, from storm to calm, rested on Jesus. Jesus was the one who made it all possible. When Jesus said, "I am here," He was declaring, "I am is here. I am is here." Now, you and I might miss the significance of that, but the disciples would not have. They would have made the connection. They were very familiar with all of the Old Testament, and so they would have remembered Moses' encounter with God at the burning bush, and Moses says to God, "What is your name?" And God answers with, "I am. I am." Jesus referred to Himself at least 8 times just in the book of John as "I am." Some of the statements are really familiar to us. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And Jesus is saying to the disciples, and he's saying to us, I am not merely a teacher. I am the one about whom teachers teach. I am not merely performing miracles. I'm the miracle. I'm not merely a prophet. I am the one about whom prophets prophesy. I am not merely one in a long succession of kings. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is saying to us today, I am the one who brings calm. I am the one who brings peace. I am the one who brings courage. In light of who I am, you don't need to be afraid. In light of who I am, you don't have to be frustrated and fearful and giving up hope. You can have courage in the middle of the storm and in the chaos. When we invite Jesus, the I am, into our boat, into our situation, he is able to calm every storm. Sometimes he calms the storm that's going on inside of us, and sometimes he calms the storm going on around us. Sometimes he calms them both. I like what one author said. He said, Jesus often calms a stormy soul before he calms the storm itself. But what we can be certain of is this. The great I am, Jesus says, I am here. And I can calm all of the elements of the storm, and I can calm your heart in the middle of the storm. Now, friends, there is so much that we could say about this event from Scripture. And I don't know what truth or encouragement that you might need to take from this event. But here's what I know for sure. Whatever chaos you may find yourself in, Jesus wants to bring calm to your soul. Whatever chaos you find yourself in, Jesus wants to step into that chaos and say to you and say to all of us, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Based on who he is, based on the fact that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we can face the chaos with calm and with courage and with peace. So before we end our time together today, let's just make it real personal. Let me ask you a question. Where do you find yourself facing chaos? Maybe it's somewhere on the exterior of your life. Maybe it's inside your own heart. I want you to know that Jesus sees, he knows, and he wants to step right into the middle of that experience with you. I wonder where you might need calm or where you might need courage. Jesus offers it to you. He offers it to me. And it's not based on who we are or what we do. It's based on who he is. And he offers us peace and courage in the middle of chaos. And for some of us today, we need to ask ourselves the question, have we actually invited Jesus into our experience and into our life? Maybe we've been trying to navigate our way through the chaos on our own. And we need to humble ourselves enough to admit that we need Jesus. And we need to invite him into our life. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful today that you are the great I am, and that you say to us, I am here. And you offer us peace for every storm. You offer us calm for our souls. You offer us calm in the circumstances around us. And I pray that you would help us to be people who are willing to trust you no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. God, I pray that you would remind us that you want to step into our situation, do this journey of life with us, walk with us, guide us, direct us. And as we find ourselves in those times where we are facing chaotic situations, God, would you help us to learn the lessons that we can only learn in the storm. And make us stronger, grow our faith, shape us and mold us to be more Christ-like as we follow you even in the middle of the storm. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.